Thanks, Robert, for joining us on The Space Show.
Okay, it's a pleasure, an unexpected pleasure. I can give you background information about my association with Goonhilly over the years, if that's what you want, or yes. Whatever.
Yes, please.
Okay, I'll try and keep it reasonably brief. I'm an old guy, really old guy, and I used to work for the European Space Agency back in the 1970s. I was with them for 7 years. I'm a communication systems engineer, and I was involved in designing some of the very first performance telecommunications satellites for the European Space Agency. And as part of my role there, at one point, I was actually made responsible for the payload testing of a brand new Ku-band satellite called OTS, Orbital Test Satellite. And apart from setting all the equipment up, based in Ficino in Italy actually, the test stations that we had to use to check the satellite's performance were located all across Europe, from down in the bottom right-hand corner of the Mediterranean, down to the Azores, up in Iceland, and lo and behold, Goonhilly Earth Station. So that's my first association with them. And those tests were very successful, actually. Then I left ESA, I moved back to the UK, and I set my own company up. In the space business, we were doing tracking systems for pointing antennas at satellites, and we were doing digital modems. This is in the early 1980s. And Goonhilly Earth Station, which was then owned by British Telecom, BT, became a customer. So we supplied a lot of systems and software into Goonhilly over a long period of time. So I know the guys there. I've worked with them over years. And one of the first that we did that I remember, we developed my company, which was called Communication Systems Research Limited in the UK. We developed a digital modem, and that became part of the very, very first ever transatlantic telephone calls via Inmarsat satellites. So I have vivid memories of that development and putting it into Goonhilly Earth Station. And the test aircraft that was used was done by a company called Raykel, who did the airborne side of the modem. And lo and behold, it worked first time, and they spoke to each other, so as to speak. That was a real first, and that system, which was called Skyphone, went on, and it was adopted by Lufthansa, Singapore Airlines, British Airways, etc. Now, fast forward to the future, or which is now, actually, and the development engineer, the very, very clever development engineer that worked for my company, his name was Ian Jones, and Ian and I worked on and off in various roles ever since the 80s then. But in 2014, Goonhilly Earth Station had pretty much been run down because the whole market had changed, the business had changed, and BT had moved a lot of facilities to other locations, and they were going to sell it. Well, Ian Jones, that engineer from way back, he went out in 2014, raised some money, and bought the station. He bought it. Private company, so it's now privately owned by GES Limited, Goonhilly Earth Station Limited. And the site has been transformed since 2014. A lot of the large antennas have been completely revamped, upgraded. We're working with the European Space Agency on their Lunar Pathfinder mission, which is due for launch in about 2022. And that will put up to two small satellites in orbit around the moon to act as the data relay satellites for a lot of experiments that will be going on actually on the moon. And Goonhilly has won the contract for the Lunar Mission Support Services for that. So we'll be responsible for all of the command and control of the spacecraft and all the data coming back. So that's where we are now. We're expanding like mad. We had a very, very good set of capital investments last year, over $50 million, and we are setting up the world's first private deep space network with ESA and with NASA. And my job here at the moment in Australia is to set up the Australian station, and that's it. Okay.
Why was Goonhilly put where Well, could you tell us, for those who are like me, who are slightly geographically challenged, where Goonhilly is and why it was located there and not in the middle of London?
Okay. Very simple. It was about the furthest point west that one could go in England. And the reason for that is that the initial satellites, the antenna design was fairly rudimentary. And the UK wanted to communicate with the States via, let's say, Telstar. And in order to get the right signal, acceptable signal-to-noise ratios for the link from the States to the UK and the UK back to the States, the stations needed to be located as close together as possible. So the US end of the link was on the east coast of the States, and the UK end of the link was on the west coast of England, which is Cornwall. So that's, in a nutshell, that's the reason.
So we've come a long way from Telstar.
Oh, we have come a long, long way from Telstar. And
what was the chief limitation of Telstar compared to OTS, which of course was the progenitor of the modern European communication satellite system?
Good question, that. Telstar probably only had one transponder. I don't know too much about it. I believe it operated at C-band, but I could be corrected on this, which is between 4 and 8 gigahertz, whereas OTS, for example, that was the first. There were two. There was an American satellite as well, but OTS was a completely European satellite development, and that operated at Ku band, which is basically on the uplink is 14 to 14.5 gigahertz, and the downlink is 10.7 to 11.5-ish gigahertz, so very high frequency. And because the frequency was high, it meant that the antenna beam width, you could have spot beams on the satellite. With a high frequency, higher the frequency and the same size dish, your beam width will be smaller, so you can get spot beams. And that means you can start to route traffic to different areas. You're not just limited with a global beam. So that was and there were a lot of technological developments that went on the OTS satellite that really gave Europe a first at those frequency bands.
Well, thank you, Robert, for joining us on the Space Show.
Okay, it's been a pleasure. Actually, if you've got about another 2 hours of broadcasting time, I could tell you a hell of a lot about space.
So does everyone here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Andrew. I really appreciate that. And it's been great seeing and meeting you here at the Space Conference in Melbourne. Thank you.
Thank you.